The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Well, it's not Anthony Reich. It is Rolene Marks who's standing in for Anthony Reich. Rolene, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I must tell you, I'm full of admiration for this lady from New Zealand. I mean, if it was me, no, Howard, I would need a tricycle. But anyway.
I think, as one of Carol Z said earlier, it's a shanda to cycle yourself at 2 a.m. In active labor to the hospital to have your baby. Come on. Really?
I mean, at least
really,
get somebody to cycle for you.
I think New Zealanders have lost their mind completely, and I'm standing by that. They've locked themselves up. They've basically gone into isolation there from the whole world. What's it, you know, when they punish people and put them into solitary? New Zealand is basically in solitary confinement, and they have finally lost the plot completely. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it, really.
I'm with you on that one, my friend. I'm with you on that one.
All right, let's talk about Israel in news. Turkey warming up to Israel. This is really good news.
This is good news. I mean, this follows the saga of how the whole issue with the couple that were imprisoned in Turkey for allegedly taking pictures of Erdogan's presidential palace, and just the change from, you know, war of words in the media to maybe a quiet diplomacy. And what we understand from the negotiations is that Erdogan wanted a public thank you, which he got from Naftali Bennett, our prime minister. And then they had a conversation, the first since 2013, of an Israeli premier and the president of Turkey. But the relations have also been strained between Turkey and the United Arab Emirates. And those ties are starting to warm up. And yesterday in a press conference, President Erdogan said that, you know, he's going to continue to look at ways of warming up relations with other countries, including Israel. So that's huge news, because we have seen in the past, I'll say, between our former leader and the president, really this ongoing war of words in the media.
Yeah, but listen, it's taken a long time, because when was the Mamamara event? Because that was really the turning point, or maybe it was the worst point in Israel-Turkey relations.
Well, that was around 2010, and we know through subsequent investigations that it was carefully planned, that those on board of the Mavi Marmara did have intentions of violence. But nevertheless, Turkish nationals were still killed. This was seen as a great insult to Erdogan, who is quite a hardline leader. But over the years, we've had the investigations, we've had a serious cooling of relations between Israel and Turkey, a country where many Israelis have gone to visit, have done business with, and now we see at long last some kind of turning point. We also know that Erdogan has spoken to our president, Isaac Herzog, so definitely an improvement in the bilateral ties between our two countries.
So that is really, really great news. UK-Israel relations flourish. Let's talk about that as well.
Well, this is fascinating to me, because it looks to me like Israel and the UK are having some kind of love affair. Our Foreign Minister Yair Lapid is in the UK at the moment. He has met with British officials, and he'll meet with French officials before the negotiations on the Iranian treaty resume. But it looks like the love is flourishing. Yesterday, huge memorandums of understanding signed to increase ties. I mean, we already have strong ties with the United Kingdom, but to increase that in cybersecurity, technology, defense, and all kinds of areas. But also very, very telling is a co-authored article in The Telegraph, which is the more reputable, or one of the more reputable newspapers in the United Kingdom, between the Foreign Secretary, Liz Truss, and Yair Lapid, saying that, you know, the two countries are going to work together to prevent a nuclear Iran. Now, we haven't seen that come from the Americans. So this, to me, is very telling, especially since we see the Biden administration kind of dithering when it comes to Iran. And of course, that incredible announcement from Priti Patel, she is the Home Secretary in the United Kingdom, proscribing Hamas, which makes Hamas illegal under the law. So if you are a protester in the United Kingdom, waving a Hamas flag or putting something on social media, you could face up to 10 years in prison in the United Kingdom. And she says this is part of the efforts to clamp down on anti-Semitism in the UK, which, as we've seen in the last 6 or so months, has been absolutely horrendous.
Absolutely. And talking about that type of thing, Malaysia, it's still not allowing Israelis, and this has had impact on the World Squash Championships. Tell us about that.
Well, you know how it me not being a squash champion. I'm barely a skipping champion.
Right.
But the squash championships were, the global squash championships were due to be held in Malaysia. Now, last week, news reports broke that Malaysia wouldn't give visas to the Israeli squash team. And the World Squash Association said, well, we're hoping for a fair outcome. That, to me, wasn't good enough. To me, you don't give a very powerful language like we're hoping for a fair outcome. You sanction Malaysia for this kind of action. Israel threatened to go to the Global Sports Ombudsman that is in Switzerland to take this to the Global Sports Court. But Malaysia refused to give visas, so now the whole championship has been scratched. The Israeli team have thanked the World Squash Association for taking...
Oh, we just seem to have lost Rolene there. Rolene, are you with us?
We're going to New Zealand.
Sorry, I'm still with you. Right, so we missed some part of it. You were saying that they have sanctioned...
So the World Squash Organization have scrapped the championships for this year because of the exclusion of Israel. And it's not the first sport that we have seen sportsmen refuse to compete, or countries refuse to compete against Israelis. We saw it in the Olympics with the judokas, the Olympics Committee kicking out those sportsmen and their management for refusing to compete against Israelis. But the squash championship will go to New Zealand. So if you're cycling around New Zealand, there might be a squash championship somewhere near you.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. But it becomes more and more important for sports bodies to show some moral backbone, don't they? And moral courage.
Well,
because sometimes it is difficult.
You're supposed to keep sports and politics completely separate. You know, during the Olympics, it was an Algerian and an Iranian who refused to compete against an Israeli. There was some controversy around a female judoka from Saudi, some people saying she should not compete, but she did. You know, she took it to the tatami, they call it. I mean, listen to me, how it's sounding all sporty. But she took it to the tatami and was defeated by her Israeli opponent, but all in the spirit of sports. They shook hands, they hugged each other afterwards, and that is what we want from sports, not bitter politics.
Absolutely, absolutely right. The United Nations has marked the partition plan with Palestine solidarity.
Well, yesterday marked the anniversary of the vote in the United Nations to separate what was then British Mandate Palestine into two states. One for the Jews and one for the Arabs. Now, we know that the Jewish leadership at the time accepted, and the result was the birth of the modern state of Israel. The Arab leadership refused. And we have what is commonly referred to as the Nakba, the catastrophe. But yesterday in the United Nations, they stood in solidarity with the Palestinians, which our ambassador took as a grave insult, because he said, not only is this a day that marks the formation of the state of Israel, but it also marks a historical refusal. And here we are some nearly 80 years later, still engaged in conflict with our neighbors because of their refusal to accept a country of their own. And you shouldn't be showing solidarity. You should be asking why they refused the opportunity to have a state of their own instead preferring to go to war.
Is this ever raised at the United Nations? I mean, is this type of thing ever said? Or is it just solidarity, solidarity, solidarity?
Well, this is it. It's always solidarity, solidarity, solidarity. But nobody has a day of accepting responsibility. And this is what our ambassador to the UN was saying. It's like he was saying, you know, at what point do you hold the leadership accountable for refusing to accept a Palestinian state? Had you, or at that time, an Arab state, because the term Palestinian, as we know it, only came about in 1964. So that was his whole argument. He has launched an objection to this show of solidarity. We're still waiting for a day of solidarity against anti-Semitism, Howard, but I think we're going to be waiting a while.
Certainly it would seem that way. And finally, let's talk Black Eyed Peas.
Let's talk Black Eyed Peas. Rocking in Jerusalem last night, and in a press conference, Will.i.am referred to Israel as his mishpocha. We are very proud that he used Yiddish in the right context. But he says, you know, he's not going to listen to people calling for boycotts. He says boycotts and politics don't determine his actions. He says he loves the Israeli people. The Peas love the Israeli people. They love coming here to be amongst their mishpocha. And he also has a lot of investments in Israeli high tech, which shows you,
wow,
you know, where the smart people are, Howard.
That is amazing. So where did they play last night?
They rocked Jerusalem. Everybody enjoyed it. Reports coming in, it was a fantastic concert. And the Black Eyed Peas officially becoming the first artists sort of as Israel almost opens up but closes up again to perform in the country. And we look forward to welcoming next year Justin Bieber and a whole host of different artists. I can't say I'll be at the Justin Bieber concert, but I'm glad that we are seeing international acts starting to come here again.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's phenomenal. I mean, obviously, we don't know if Justin Bieber can come to South Africa. Many people saying, well, at least that's one positive around COVID. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I happen to be a Bieber fan, so you can't scare me. Not that I would have gone to the concert. I'm just too afraid of what's going on. Mark Lubo says, hi, Howard. I think you should cancel your holiday. You may meet a non-vaxxer who doesn't whine all day. My non-vax friends are all cautious and are on increased vitamins. Mike, I mean, I can't even answer that because there are so many different layers and levels to that. Mike, you know that I don't agree with non-vaxxers. I certainly just wish that you all would get vaccinated. And yes, it's good that you are cautious. It is good that you are taking vitamins. It's better than not doing that. But actually, I want you to vaccinate because I care. It's actually as simple as that. And please don't take it any other way. It's as simple as that. The carnage, the death, the loss of life is something that maybe, I don't know, we've all been exposed to. There's no one who hasn't been exposed to it, and I just don't want to see that happening to anyone around me again, least of all people that are in our world of listeners. Jenny Fleischer says the world should take a lesson from South Africa. We still wear masks, we sanitize, we're careful where we are. They don't do anything like that in the United Kingdom. We need to contain the virus. That is absolutely right. And C says, care about yourself, Howard. Alrighty. So I do care about myself. See, but I also care about our listeners and I care about everybody around me. And just the fact is that it is your choice at this stage, whether you want to be vaccinated or not, but you please don't expect me to agree with something that I don't agree with. I wouldn't be true to myself. I wouldn't be fair to you. And it certainly wouldn't be fair to our listeners if I didn't stand up to something that I believe in. Gimple says, it's not a Bieber fan. It's a Belieber. So I don't believe you. That is from Gimple. I can't win today, Rolene. Have you seen what's going on out there? Talk about carnage. I don't know.
What is happening, everybody? It's like Testy Tuesday or something.
It really, really is. We used to have Whiny Wednesday. We brought it forward. I suppose Hanukkah's early this year. So now we have Testy Tuesday. Colin says, I think that a Bieber concert in Johannesburg is on a Friday night. Oh, thank God. At least that takes away that decision. It is about to go 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.